Good morning. It is 9:01 a.m. We are here today, December 13th, 2017, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatna, Guam, for the motions hearing of OPA PA 17-009, Cortec International Corp. versus the Department of Public Works. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Anthony Camacho and Public Auditor Doris Flores Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Rodlyn Gerardo and Jarek Hernandez. Will appellant Cortec please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Joyce Tang and Leslie Travis for Cortec International. Thank you.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency DPW please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yeah, good morning, Assistant Attorney General Tom Keeler, also present as DPW's Deputy Director Andrew Leon Guerrero.
Thank you. We may proceed.
All right, so we're going to go with the motion hearing first. After that, we're going to discuss, the scheduling of the hearing afterwards, or the main hearing here. But there's some issue that might affect you, but we'll see. So, Mr. Keeler, this is your motion for summary judgment, and you have the floor.
Right, thank
but
you.
Before you begin, you didn't file a reply, is that correct?
Right.
Okay, good. I was making sure that our filing was complete. So there's the motion, the opposition, and that's it. All right, yes. You may proceed.
Cortec claims that it's improper for the Simon Sanchez High School Evaluation Committee to consider DPW's August 23rd, 2017 notice of default on the Route 1, Route 8 project. With regards to the pending IFB. It's DPW's position that this claim should be dismissed because Cortec cannot show that it has been damaged by the request to provide record of past performance, including the record of default. The status of the IFB at this point is no bids have been submitted. Cortec has not submitted any bid, and the evaluation committee has not convened. Until such time as the evaluation committee is provided an opportunity to evaluate the bidders, Cortec as well as hopefully others, then there are no damages, there's no basis to claim that they've been damaged. Critical to this analysis is what is the record? What is a record for procurement? The law is clear, as cited in page 4 of DPW's record of statement of record. Contracting officers are generally given wide discretion in making responsibility determinations and in determining the amount of information that is required to make a responsibility determination. There are also additional sites on page 4 and page 5 that go to local law as well as additional authority supporting that.
You cite those in your brief though, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
DPW should be able to request information or documents evidencing a bidder's responsibility. Cortec argues that since it has appealed the default decision, that it is not required to provide any information concerning that. This simply is false. The Simon Sanchez High School project is a $50 million plus dollar project. Information concerning prospective bidders, whether they're going to comply with the American and Disabilities Act, whether they're going to perform in a timely manner, are all pertinent. government does not assert that its August 23, 2017 notice of default is a final adjudicated record. It is, however, important for an evaluation committee to consider when reviewing whether or not a bidder is responsible. Similarly, an October 9th, 2014 survey that was prepared by CoreTech that documented that it had failed, that 58% of the project sidewalks failed to comply with the American and Disabilities Act is pertinent. That's needed information and appropriate information for an evaluation committee to consider. The fact that 3 years later, CoreTech has failed to repair the non-compliant work is pertinent.
Objection, if I may. We're completely outside of the motion. The last 5 minutes of his argument has been outside of anything he's filed in his summary judgment. He's arguing matters that were raised in Route 1 and Route 8, and he's also raising arguments that were in cases cited in his agency report, which we responded to in our comments to agency report. So we are way outside of the summary judgment motion.
I'm going to, because this is Mr. Keeler's motion, I'm going to give him some leeway here, and your objection is denied.
Thank you.
Please proceed. I should say your objection is overruled. Apologies. Please proceed, Mr. Keeler.
I would like to point out bill number 28-24, section H of which, and this is...
Wait a minute, 28-dash, I'm sorry.
34.
28-34.
That's correct.
All right, please proceed.
And those are, that bill addresses proposed revisions to the current procurement code. In subsection H, the automatic stay section, new language proposes that a procurement would be stayed until a final entry of judgment. That would be new. The concern with that would be, as a practical matter, that's going to mean a procurement, such as Simon Sanchez High School, could be delayed 3 to 4 years while a decision of the OPA is appealed to the Superior Court. It would just end up in extended litigation. That is not what the procurement code intends. In closing, DPW requests a determination that CoreTech's claim that it was damaged by the evaluation committee's considering performance of the Route 1, Route 8, project is premature, that it is critical for the evaluation committee to have an opportunity to evaluate bidders before we can determine whether or not those actions are proper or correct or to be challenged. We would also request a determination that any bidder be required to provide information pertinent to both past projects as well as current projects. If a bidder has an explanation for a particular item, that can be considered by the evaluation committee. Thank you.
Ms. Chang?
Thank you. There are quite a few matters or issues that have been raised that are outside the scope of the motion for summary judgment brought by DPW. But let me address the motion in particular, and then I will address these additional issues that are the out of scope issues raised by DPW at the hearing, at this motion, at, in this motion. hearing. First, our protest, CTI's protest, was on two bases. The protest was, one, where are your contract documents for an IFB? Two, in connection with your definition of the record of default, what documents that one needs to provide, a prospective needs to provide a record of default, it should include matters that have been reached final administrative judicial adjudication. And that's the question we asked, number 32, in our RFI. They responded in their addendum on August 24th, 2017. And their response basically said everything is included, including matters that have not reached final adjudication. We protested within 14 days of August 24th. Our protest was timely. Now, if you recall, in response to, in their comments.
So a protest in this matter?
Yes. Excuse me. Okay. Let me be very clear. We protested the agency's decision that was issued. We filed a protest on September 7th, 2014, within 14 days of the August 24, 2017 addendum 6 that contained the responses to RFI number 32. In their agency report, the government said, in their response to our protest, dated September 23rd, 2017, the agency decision, they say, DPW says, CTI, Cortec, you're untimely. Your protest is untimely. Because you know why? You should have looked at all of the other ITBs we've issued and this record of default that we use, and you should have known what we were thinking and what this means and not have to wait for an RFI answer to know what it means. Today, the summary judgment says, well, you're premature. How can we be untimely and premature? Or one or the other? So I think both arguments have no merit. We've established that we're timely. As to the argument regarding premature claim, let's talk about that. That's a standing argument. When does prospective bidder have the standing to file a protest? 5425A, 5GCA, 5425A makes it very clear that any actual or prospective bidder who may be aggrieved in connection with a method of selection, solicitation, or award may protest to the chief procurement officer in writing within 14 days after the aggrieved person knows or should know of the facts giving rise thereto. That's exactly what Cortec did. We have standing because Cortec is an aggrieved prospective bidder. Why are we a prospective bidder? We picked up the ITB. We attended all of the meetings. We submitted two rounds of RFI questions. We're a prospective bidder. Can't be clear. No dispute on those facts. We're not required to show at the time of filing that we have damages. Nobody is required to do that. There's no statutory or case authority that requires that. It's just ludicrous. There's no basis or authority to support that position, the position that DPW is taking, which is we can't protest because we're not damaged. That's not what the law is. 5425A says any prospective bidder who may be aggrieved. So it's not an issue of damages, improving damages at the time of filing the protest. You have to be a prospective bidder, which is what Cortec is. Now, so for that reason, the premature argument has no merit. They also argue that Cortec, and this is incorrect, and we need to make this very clear. Page two, I'm sorry, in their summary judgment, they say, this is on page three of our brief, our opposition, on line 6 to 9. DPW claims that Cortec claims and argues that they are not a responsible bidder. We never did that. Why would any bidder say, I'm not responsible and not responsive? There's just no sane person would make that argument. So that is completely an inaccurate statement made by DPW in their motion, and we deny it. And that needs to be, I think, clarified. Let's also talk about who's responsible for making determinations of responsibility. DPW alludes or makes the argument that devaluators, we need this information, record of default, because the evaluators need to review the record. That is not true. The statute is clear. 2 GAR 3116 subsection B2 big B specifically states that it's the procurement officer who makes the initial determination of responsibility. That's the law, not the evaluation committee. So when bids come in, they review that, the procurement officer, the same person in this case, Mr. Beneventi, who signed the record of default, who signed the notice of termination default in Route 1 and Route 8, who will be reviewing the bids for determination of responsibility. And DPW is arguing that they should have unfettered discretion. Wow, that's quite an argument. And they cite to a bunch of FAR cases. But let's talk about what they actually cite in their motion for summary judgment. Nothing. This argument wasn't even raised. This was raised in their agency report, where they cited to a bunch of FAR acquisition cases. And we responded to it in our response and our comments to the agency report. This is not a federal government contract. Simon Sanchez is completely local funding. And the federal acquisition regs do not apply to this procurement. Nevertheless, we also argue in our comments that there is a whole body and structure of how the procurement officer in the contracting officer in a federal procurement has to follow a bunch of rules. And he doesn't have, or she doesn't have, a better discretion. Unfortunately, you can't just take the part you like in FAR and say it should apply to Guam. We don't have the other parts, and say he has, our procurement officer has unfettered discretion with no guidance, no policy, nothing that one finds in the FAR with the cases explaining these regulations. So that's what they're arguing. And this is, again, outside the scope of the summary judgment, but I feel the need to respond to it because, one, it's not within the scope, but two, to the extent that you're going to look at this issue, please note that we've already addressed it, and we have addressed it in the comments to the agency report. So the two issues in the summary judgment are, what should be in the record of default? Should Cortec petition or appeal be dismissed? And our position is the record of default should include all matters that have reached final adjudication, not just any notice of default that the procurement officer, in his unfettered discretion, decides to sign, in this case, Felix Beneventi, and then who is later going to be the same person, the procurement officer, who determines whether you're responsible or not. We also have a retaliation claim. And while that is not before this before you today. That is an important part of our case. And I think that that cannot be ignored. It is tied into the timing and
the... I object.
Your objection, Mr. Keeler?
It's not addressed in the motion for summary judgment. It's well outside the scope of what's been presented.
And I gave you some leeway in your argument. And that's what these are, just arguments for motions. And your objection's overruled. I will give Ms. Tang some leeway as well. You may proceed, Ms. Tang.
So I think that that is a very important part of our case. It's not just the record of default. Dismissal is not warranted. I won't get into the facts because it's not before you today. Please be aware that this is really a partial, to the extent that it's a summary judgment, not a dismissal of the case, but a partial summary judgment, because we have another part of our case that is not before you today. And that's the reason I wanted to bring that up. I also want to make some respond to some of the points that Mr. Keeler has raised that we believe are outside scope, but nevertheless, I'm happy to respond to it. First statement he made is improper for evaluators to consider notice of default and the IFB. So first of all, as I explained, 2GAR 3116-2B says it's a procurement officer who determines responsibility, not the evaluation committee, for a very good reason. But I think that there continues to be this line of argument which is legally incorrect, and I think we just need to make sure that that's clear, that it's not the evaluation committee that determines responsibility. 2GAR 3116-2B says it's the procurement officer. Again, he talked about no damages. I've addressed that. We have standing. 5425A addresses that issue. It's not an issue of damages, but really it's an issue of whether you're a prospective bidder or not. He talks about the ADA compliance issue and 58% of the sidewalk. I know that we're not getting into the facts, but let me leave you with one thought. What are we talking about when we're talking about ADA compliance issue? This is what we're talking about. And I kind of learned about the sloping when 15 years ago when I handled a football field case and how drainage needs to be sloped. And so the slope is not visible to the naked eye. So what they're talking about in terms of the defect, take 1 foot of the sidewalk, this much. The slope that is not compliant for that 1 foot is like maybe 5 pieces of paper thick. That's the kind of sloping defect we're talking about. It's minutia. It's not naked. It's not something the naked eye will see. And I think I don't want you to leave with this impression that, you know, some poor fellow in a wheelchair is going to be rolling down like a roller coaster down the sidewalk. Because we're talking about 1 foot, maybe 3 to 5 pieces of paper thick. That's the slope that's off. That's what we're talking about. Okay? And that's not even technical. It's way hyper-technical. That's in direct response to Mr. Keeler's comment that there was a survey and that 50% of the sidewalk failed to meet ADA. We're talking about 1 foot, 5 pieces
of
paper.
Okay, we got that piece of your argument. I understand that part of your argument.
All right, now, with respect to Bill 2834, and we just pulled it up, and I... With respect to Bill 2834, I have no idea why that's been raised today. It's a bill. But since it was raised, I will simply say that it's irrelevant, and that, but I think it opens up an interesting issue of delay, and trying to put the blame, DPW trying to put the delay of Simon Sanchez, Cortec, or even the public auditor, just proceeding, not you, but the proceeding, if you will. I think that is false, because here's why. The IFB has been withdrawn, undisputed. There is no IFB. There is, in effect, no stay, because there's no pending solicitation, correct? Okay. Why is there a delay in issuing the IFB? They need to go back, in one of the emails that we submitted in our exhibits, it says, hey, we need to go back and fix this problem, put the contracts in, whatever. However they want, there's nothing stopping DPW from issuing an IFB today, tomorrow, or the next day. This proceeding does not, there's no stay, there's no legal impediment. Now, if they decide to issue an IFB that has really bad language in it, we can't stop them. Or it's incomplete. We can't stop them. That's their prerogative. A finding of retaliation from the public auditor doesn't delay or inhibit or impede their ability to issue an IFB. Now, on the issue of record of default and how that should be defined, they could either try to fix the problem and try to make sense of that, or issue the same bad language and run afoul of the problems again. That's their determination. That's nothing stops them. The public auditor, Cortec, nobody is telling them that they have to do anything. They can do whatever they want. Nothing impedes them from issuing an IFB. Let me make that very clear. The only party that's causing a delay to the issuance of the IFB and the construction of the Simon Sanchez is DPW. And it's squarely on DPW's shoulder. They should not be pointing to this proceeding, to the public auditor, or to Cortec. For that reason, I think that this proceeding can proceed on its own course, and DPW can do the right thing and try to fix the problem and issue a correct and proper ITB with the proper contracts and start thinking about issues rather than waiting for courts and the public auditor to tell them how to follow the law.
We get your point, Ms. Tang.
Okay, so
move on in your argument.
I think that's very important, that there is no stay and no one except DPW is causing the delay to the construction of Simon Sanchez. Thank you.
Mr. Keeler?
Number one, we would agree that Cortec has standing. I don't think that's ever been disputed. We reiterate our position that it is premature, the argument, because we haven't had bids yet. Until such time as bids are received, there can't be a determination as to responsibility or non-responsibility. As to the point or the argument that the same person who issued the notice of default is going to be the person that's reviewing or determining responsibility, that is incorrect. Mr. Benavente is retired. Mr. Leon Guerrero is now the procuring officer.
When you say Benavente, you're talking about Felix Benavente?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
DPW is not arguing that there would be unfettered discretion. What we're saying is, in determining responsibility, you ought to be able to take a look at a contractor's own document that says they failed to comply with 58% of their sidewalks with federal law. That is something that's reasonable for an individual to review. It's reasonable to expect an explanation as to why the contract is over 3 years past the completion date. The only comment I make with regards to the retaliation discussion is DPW has responded to that. They provided declarations by three individuals saying that Simon Sanchez project was never discussed with regards to this project, and it's just simply baseless. It's based simply on an allegation out of the blue. Two documents issued by separate divisions of the Department of Public Works within a similar time frame. With regards to the five sheets of paper, it's irrelevant. It's federal law. DPW cannot waive federal requirements. CoreTech has established, has documented, that one, it didn't comply with federal law, and number two, they haven't
complied. Okay, I don't think those issues are in dispute here.
Okay. I was only mentioning it since it was raised. Finally, DPW's position has been that there is a legal impediment to reissuing an IFB, and that is that there is this appeal. That is how my office has interpreted it. If I'd be happy for the OPA to opine on that issue, because if there's an opinion that the IFB can, a new IFB can be issued now, DPW will proceed.
That issue is not raised in any of your briefs, is that correct?
No, it's the first time I heard that.
That issue is not before us. Okay.
Okay. Nothing further.
Thank you. Okay. We're going to take the motion under advisement and certainly issue a decision in writing prior to the hearing. All right. So the other issue. In the case that is somewhat related to this one, that's OPA-PA-17-010. There was a motion for sanctions for failure to file the give the procurement record to the appellant in that case. That motion, in essence, was granted in part yesterday. Which would require continuing the formal hearing that was scheduled for 10 o'clock this morning. And we're going to meet in that case after this hearing, not for the formal hearing, but to discuss scheduling the formal hearing in that matter. So it is the OPA's decision, essentially, that we are going, despite that we are going to proceed with this appeal as scheduled on the 20th. We're simply notifying the parties of that decision.
Okay.
All right, so we are gonna proceed despite that. The other case being continued, that hearing probably will not proceed until we estimate the first or second week of January. But we haven't scheduled a hearing yet. We've just simply vacated the formal hearing that was set for today in that matter. Okay, so I'm just letting you know, Mr. Keeler is well aware of that fact. And that was to give DPW additional time to provide the appellant the entire procurement record. In that case, give that party time to go through those records and essentially, we'll proceed with the hearing after those events have occurred. Okay?
Okay. May I?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for that. We are prepared to go forward on the 20th, and I have absolutely no problem with that. Having seen their trial exhibits, I believe some of those documents were not part of the procurement record. Most of them were from Route 1 and Route 8. So to the extent there are any issues...
The procurement record in the other case.
Well, they have filed exhibits here,
uh-huh.
right, in this case, and if it's... which appear to be incomplete, whether it's part of the procurement record or not part of the procurement record, they involve communications relating to the exhibits they're using in this case that they have submitted as part of the trial exhibits. And there are only portions of those records that we have. So to the extent there are any issues, I will notify you today. And I'm happy to, if they can produce them quickly, we can still keep the 20th. I'm happy to have a quick turnaround and we'll review it. If they can produce the documents quickly, we can keep the 20th date. I don't have an issue with that.
Okay, well, I'm not familiar with what exhibits. You're discussing, I'm going to let you work that issue out with Mr. Keeler.
All right. I will do that.
All right. Likewise, those documents are, in fact, the entire procurement record, at least what DPW has provided, is with the OPA. So you could review that as well.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah, or at least
whatever he produced to us, it should be the same as what he produced to the OPA, correct?
That's correct. No, I'm talking about in the other.
We should not have different records.
No. What I'm talking about in the other case, the OPA does have the procurement record. It is free if you wanted to review it. Okay. Those are very voluminous documents. That's just if you wanted to make sure that your exhibits were complete. But like I said, if you're having an issue with exhibits, I'm going to, I ask you to try to work that out with Mr. Keeler first.
I will do that. But just let me respond to our reviewing the Route 1 ride. I have not done that. I'm not part of that case.
Mm-hmm.
I know parts of it, and I've seen the decisions. But to the extent that, I have not reviewed all whatever 8,000 or 10,000 pages in that.
There's a lot.
Yes, and there's no reason for me to do that.
Okay.
All right.
No, I'm just saying that portion of the record is there at the OPA.
I understand that, but to say, I hope you're not saying that Cortec, as lawyer in this case, should go review those 10,000 records.
No, I'm not.
To address any failure of giving, DPW's failure of giving me complete records.
No, but just like in court. There's an issue with exhibits between the parties or discovery between the parties. A party should seek to try to first work that out and use basically motions to compel or other
kind of motions.
As a last resort.
I understand. Okay. I will confer with him, Mr. Keeler.
Yeah, so it's the same standard I'm applying here.
Okay.
That's all I'm really asking you to do is try to work that out with Mr. Keeler. If you can't, for whatever reason, yes, you may file the appropriate motion.
We'll do that. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Keeler, did you have anything else?
Well, I would just like to point out when there's reference to incomplete exhibits, that was intentional. You know, for example, we have a letter that may have like 170 page of attachments.
Okay, but that's not really before me, and I'm going to let you work that out with Ms. Tang. Okay. And of course, if either side feels that they need some remedy from the hearing officer, either side may file the appropriate motion.
Sure.
Either a motion to compel or a motion for a protective order or what have you. Okay. That's all. All right, so we're going to proceed with the, like I said, we'll issue this decision before the hearing, which is still scheduled for December the 20th at 9 a.m. All right? Did I get the time right? I think
it is. Yes.
Okay. All right.
And just for clarity, how long do you estimate the proceeding to take place? Because we've reserved 3 days. And I recall you had said you thought it would only be 1 day.
I think with the additional documents and whatnot, I think 3 days is a safer bet.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I thank you for raising that issue. The other thought I had was with respect to DPW's witnesses. It's, will we need to subpoena any of the DPW witnesses, or will they have a witness list, including Ms. Takara and several other individuals, including Mr. Benavente and other people. Will we need to subpoena them? And I would like to know if, I'm sorry, they are Andrew Leonberg, Wilkin Bloss, Arlene Pierce, Mike Lanning, John Moretto, and Rochelle Takara. Will we need to subpoena these individuals, or will they be made available as well?
Okay. Mr. Keeler, are they going to be made available? Because DPW does have a good history of making the government witnesses available without a subpoena. Are there any issues with those particular witnesses?
I can't confirm Ms. Takara. She's in Hawaii.
Ms. Takara, is she a DPW employee?
She's Federal Highway.
Federal Highway. Okay, that's the one I was, I think I already explained that you would have to, she's outside the jurisdiction of Guam, but if she's willing to appear via Skype or teleconference, that would be fine. And if there's any way DPW could facilitate that, that certainly would be appreciated. Okay, but she's not physically present here, is she?
No.
Okay.
And we don't have any objections to that, of course. We've done that many times. So I'm happy to confer with Mr. Keeler on that if there's any issues.
Okay, but,
she's on both of our witness lists, by the way.
And once again, you're going to have to provide the electronic means, okay, to make
Absolutely.
That happen. We just provide the space, and this is it, right?
No problem. Thank you.
Any other issues?
Yes. Ms. Tang, yesterday or the day before, filed a motion to disqualify me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a look at that motion, and it'll either be scheduled or dealt with summarily, one of the two. I haven't, we just got it, okay. So
okay.
I haven't had the opportunity to look at it to decide one way or the other. Okay.
Is the government going to provide an opportunity to respond?
Well, we'll see. Okay. But if we proceed with it for hearing them, yes. Okay. All right. But I just noticed it this morning, quite frankly, okay, as I was preparing for this hearing. But so I'm not prepared to give a statement on that motion one way or the other, okay?
Thank you.
Because I haven't read it, right?
Thank
so
you.
We are off the record at 10 a.m. Thank you.
We're off the record at 9:44 a.m.
9 what?
44.
Oh, that's always a
pass.
Okay.